Here's the Davenport Center, but where is the bank? Is it there or
what's it?
Yeah, this Denver. I know that bank.
Ja, es ist gar nicht so einfach, in Taxis Musik aufzunehmen, die Taxifahrer spielen. Und das war tatsächlich, ich habe leider den Namen wieder vergessen, aber ein weißer Sänger in Südafrika in einem Taxi eines Schwarzen, der christliche Musik im Alvis-Stil gesungen hat. Und das fand ich so faszinierend, dass ich, während ich zum Geldautomaten gegangen bin, dem Taxifahrer das Minidisc übergeben habe zum Weiterrekorden. Und dann hat er sich gewundert und gefragt, warum, wenn ich die Musik aufnehme, ich ihn doch anscheinend auch aufnehme. Und danach wollte er leider nicht mehr weitererzählen. Auf jeden Fall spiele ich heute in dieser Sendung einige Interviews, die ich in Durban aufnehmen konnte, und zwar mit verschiedenen Direktoren als auch Künstlern, also Direktoren von Kunstmuseen und Art Spaces, Kuratoren und Künstlern. Auf jeden Fall.
Now, as we are talking, we won't be recorded.
Not really, because the music.
Okay. Jetzt, bevor diese Diskussion weitergeht, auf jeden Fall das erste Interview mit Nati Gumede. Er ist Kurator, er ist der einzige und eigentlich der erste schwarze Kurator, den es in Südafrika gibt. Und er versucht jetzt auch, eine Art Kuratorenschule aufzubauen, weil, und das ist Teil in diesem Interview, weil es eben darum geht, wie kann man tatsächlich auch in den Townships einen Zugang zur Kunst herstellen. Auf jeden Fall, ja, Nati Gumede. Und danach erzähle ich gleich mehr über das Projekt, diese Recherche.
Das ist egal. Und von woher das
kam? Ah ja, Nati Gumede ist auch Direktor der NSA Galerie in Durban.
This organization is now 101 years old. I think it was founded in 1905.
Yeah.
And over the years, it has taken many forms, from being a gallery space to being a curio shop to being an exhibition space to permanently being what it is today.
Yeah.
And my relationship with them started in 1997 or something around there. They funded I used to teach one of their outreach projects, because the organization itself is an NPO.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of community-based projects where they work with different communities for different needs.
Yeah.
And at that point, I had written a funding proposal to them.
Yeah.
To fund an exhibition, to fund a project that I initiated in Guamashu, where I come from. It is a township which is about 20-30 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was concerned about representation of township schools. There's an annual exhibition that happens annually, selected by the Department of Education,
yeah.
And it selects all the senior students from different schools that are under government for an exhibition that happens at the Demnard Gallery. And at the time, I used to go to those shows, and I was concerned about the quality of schools from the township areas,
yeah.
And one specifically, the one that I came from.
Yeah.
So I wrote a proposal to the KZN State to fund that project, where my plan was to actually access material that the school would not access, in a
yeah.
sense that expensive materials,
yeah.
Teach them things that the school was not teaching them because of the lack of finance.
Yeah.
And that was in 1997, 98, and a little bit of 99.
Yeah.
And then from then on, the curator of the gallery at the time wanted someone to relieve him on weekends and those kind of things. And because this building was opened in 96,
yeah.
So they were still sorting out the structure and in terms of employees and just finding out who would do what and those kind of things. So they were in the process, and then they needed someone to assist the curator at the time.
Yeah.
And I got in a temple job in 98 to come and relieve him on weekends and public holidays and those kind of things. And then in March 1999, I was offered my first contract as assistant curator. And then I started in March 99 to work full-time for the KZNSA. And I worked as an assistant curator from then till last year, October, when I was appointed curator, when our previous curator resigned. He relocated to Cape Town to study his master's. And when he resigned, I applied for the post and promoted to curator.
Mm. And is that township, is it possible to see the township project?
It closed. It closed. It was a high school.
Yeah.
And I basically walked in there and said to the teacher, I'm willing to source funds and work with the senior students on weekends. So it was a weekend project. I said to him he must identify students who had potential to who would be able to cope with new ideas and actually are willing to explore new ideas in terms of materials.
Yeah.
And so I didn't work with the entire school, but senior students that they appointed for me.
Yeah.
You know, so it didn't last, because I mean it was in 97. You know, the students are not there anymore,
yeah.
And they've gone in different directions. You know what I mean? So it was merely to cover that aspect. So it's not there anymore.
Yeah. So where would you say, where are new projects located, and what kind of art do they represent? What has changed now in how they do art, several artists which you are interested in?
Strange enough, I'm going to say probably it's selfishness on my part, but I got a job, and it became difficult for me to do those kind of projects,
yeah.
In a sense that I was also presented with an opportunity to get involved in administration of art.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, I had a lot of decisions to make, and amongst the many decisions I had to make was that there's not that many black administrators.
Yeah.
And secondly, there's not that many black curators.
Yeah.
And I realized the opportunity I had,
yeah.
And I realized the impact I could make.
Yeah.
So I opted to concentrate on this aspect and see where it led me.
Yeah.
And then obviously at the time I didn't know I would end up where I am, but I also didn't want to miss the opportunity as well.
Yeah.
So that kind of work kind of took a backseat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, there are quite a number of projects that other people are doing, and I'm just focusing on this one at the moment.
And which projects are you?
I'm basically curating and I'm also chairperson of the Visual Art Network of South Africa. It's a network of artists.
Yeah.
It's a national network. There's a branches in Cape Town, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Johannesburg. So it's a national network, and I'm the chairperson for the KwaZulu-Natal area.
Yeah.
So I also get involved. At the moment, we're putting together a project that is going to make the effort of closing the gap, especially with regard to the lack of black curators in the country.
Yeah.
We're hosting a project in November at the Robben Island Museum, to where we're inviting up-and-coming curators together with senior curators, people with experience in the country. But we're also inviting two huge international curators to take part. At the moment, we have not drawn up the list because we're sending the call out very, very, very soon. But Joseph Gaylard, who has been tasked with setting up this thing, is busy looking at possible curators that we can find for the project. And the project will open in November at the Robben Island for 2 weeks. So that's my current project, you know. But,
right.
You know, I do, you know, the gallery runs a number of projects that I'm kind of working on at the moment. The one that our previous boss was managing is the Young Artist Project, which is a project that nominates four young artists who've never had a solo exhibition before. We commissioned them to produce work for our multimedia room. We have a gallery which is that we dedicate specifically to new practice media work, video, digital stuff.
Yeah.
And this project selects four artists annually. We commission them to produce work for the multimedia room, and then in the end we host a seminar and publish a catalog to kind of run off the cycle, and then it happens annually.
Yeah.
And then last year, as part of the project, we started something called the Young Artists Project Critical Writing Workshop, where we are now developing young writers.
Yeah.
For because we realize that there's not much discourse in terms of using writing as a means to engage the wider audience in issues of contemporary practice. So we're developing a new breed of contemporary writers, you know, who critically can write about new media and new practice within the contemporary culture.
Yeah.
So that's my next project. At the moment, I'm busy. I'm negotiating dates with the coordinator of the project, which is Sean O'Toole.
Yeah.
He is the editor of Art South Africa. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah.
It's a new contemporary magazine based in Cape Town, and he's the editor of that magazine. So at the moment, I'm busy negotiating dates with him to come down to Durban to come and host this year's cycle. So that's my next project as well. So you know, we do what we can.
Yeah.
But of course, I've just finished writing a proposal to the NAC. Because we're an NPO, we rely solely on funding.
Yeah.
You know, so at the moment, I'm waiting for those funding applications I've written for the next year's Young Artist Project.
Yeah, but I heard that it's difficult for artists to find spaces which are closer to the townships or closer and which are not commercialized in a way.
Yeah.
Or ateliers.
I mean, it's not difficult. They're non-existent, basically. There are no galleries in the townships. There are no... there are very, very, very less... very, very less... There are no exhibitions that happen in the township.
Yeah.
I mean, rarely you will find something that happens in the township. If it does, they'll be talking about craft, really.
Yeah.
And let alone contemporary practice. I mean, even traditional art, you know, your square meter kind of canvas painting stuff, you hardly get. So that kind of culture is non-existent, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so hence the initiative of VANSA. You know, those are the kind of issues we're trying to address. You know, at the moment, as part of VANSA as well, is that we are putting together a database because, you know, also a database of artists doesn't exist in the country.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if you're looking for someone, you will find that person through a person like me, or there is no art bank. There is no source of information where information or database about artists exist.
Yeah.
So that's our next project as well as VANSA.
Yeah.
I mean, we hosted the first ever major conference in Cape Town as Visual Network of South Africa at beginning of this year in Cape Town,
yeah,
where we invited international speakers and also national speakers under one roof. I mean, that was the first time in many years where we can have art practitioners, you know, under one roof in the country. You know, so things are happening, you know what I mean? But it's just the pace is a bit slower.
Yeah.
The pace is a bit slower.
Yeah.
But you know, we are addressing them. You know, as we've just realized, you know, we the current practitioners are operating in different levels, you know. Hence Andrew's Porter is a lecturer and also an artist, and so, you know, at the moment there are not much resources to sustain input from you know, other people. And of course, all of these things we do on a voluntary basis. You know, he runs that company on a voluntary basis, I run VANSA on a voluntary basis, and it's only here where I have the salary, you know. So all of these things that we do outside of our 9-to-5 job are on a voluntary basis.
Yeah.
So, and the problem with voluntary basis is that, you know, you can only commit so many hours in the project, so the process becomes slow.
Yeah, it's interesting that you are doing a project with curators, because in Europe and or in the international art scenes, it's coming, there are more and more curator schools and workshops for curators and exhibitions where curators exhibit their ideas of art and
to
present
a general
their
public.
Artists and that's really interesting that you are doing this. What is the role of the curator here in South Africa?
The role of curatorship in South Africa has not been taken to a level that it has in foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, in South Africa, there is no school or educational institutions that caters for curatorship.
Yeah.
So curators that are curators in South Africa were either trained overseas,
yeah,
or trained by institutions, like as the case in my situation.
Yeah.
I'm a fine arts graduate, but you know, I had to work for 7 years,
yeah,
as an assistant curator to gain the skills that I got to be a curator today. So you'll find that many curators in the country have gone through the same process that I've gone through. There is no fixed curriculum or a fixed institution where you can go.
That's
a tricky part. So hence the initiative that we started as VANSA, is that we're now saying, listen, we realize this gap, because it is a much needed gap. I mean, as I was saying to you, you know, I'm the first black curator to be hired by a non-governmental organization in South Africa. And there's probably four of us, four black curators who are employed by institutions in South Africa.
Yeah.
So there's the culture of curatorship amongst the black community is basically non-existent.
Yeah.
So although there's now the four of us, we continue to serve the very same institutions in the suburbs. We cannot serve, you know, the skills that I have do not serve my, for lack of a better word, my community in the township. Because there is no infrastructure for me to do that. There is no culture of appreciation among the community themselves, because the culture of art as a practice has not been enshrined in their minds as well. So one has to also look at audience development. So all of these issues, you know, they may seem that exist separately, but, you know, in the end, you know, you have to look at them within a broader context of the history of this country as well. You know, art as a practice has not been given or has not been afforded the same treatment as a lawyer would or as a doctor would. So the culture of appreciation amongst the young community or the youth is not there yet. when it comes to the art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it is very, very difficult to start considering things like curatorship. If you haven't even considered audience development, a culture of appreciation amongst the youth in terms of visual arts, the language to be able to negotiate and engage an artwork, you know what I mean? It's not there yet, you know what I mean? So the culture of curatorship is just too sophisticated. If for lack of a better word, you know what I mean, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're in a process of now saying, okay, what do we know that other communities consider as art, and how do we as current art practitioners or art administrators do to create and develop our audiences outside of the normal gallery environment? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because before you can even start thinking about site-specific projects, you have to realize, because it's not in my interest to go and source funding and then plug a project in Gwamashu where people will not understand what it's for. You know what I mean? So then we've engaged government to say, listen, let's now think on what can be done to ensure the growth of the industry itself, you know, within the community. And then hence the initiative of the OBE education, in the sense that now government has started something which is called OBE, which is something that in terms of education is outcome based, in
exactly.
a sense that now teachers within the schools, because you have to look at the education system as well.
Yeah.
Teachers within the especially in the township schools, were not fine arts graduates.
Yeah.
These were people who went and studied biology and history and accounting, and they had to study 17 subjects at college. You know, they had colleges back then that catered mostly for black teachers to teach in township schools because of apartheid and so forth.
Yeah.
So these people studied biology and science. You know, one teacher can hop from being a geography teacher to being, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So these people don't have specific skills and knowledge to teach art.
Yeah.
So we said, don't start by looking at how we develop culture of appreciation. Let's start by saying, the person that's teaching art, how well is that person equipped to teach art? I mean, does this person even technically can paint a painting, just basic stuff?
Yeah.
Can this person tell you who Van Gogh is? Can this person, just basic stuff? And and then obviously we realize there's a gap there.
Yeah.
Because these people couldn't do much, really.
Yeah. And are artists here influenced by William Kentridge, for example?
See, this is the thing again, because the culture of appreciation has to start with those teachers.
Yeah.
To know who William Kentridge is. They don't even know who William Kentridge is. Because I work in the visual arts, I will know who he is.
Yeah.
But you walk into any school, they may not know who William Kentridge is. Obviously, as I said to you, this OBE thing now, we then said, as you said, this curriculum, look that a certain portion of it is dedicated to South African art.
Yeah.
And then we now started to say, okay, let's now identify South African artists that have now started making influence globally and even locally. And then now these artists are now featured within the curriculum, where now our teachers can now say, okay, for a trick, let's now look at William Kentridge. He's now part of the syllabus. You know, Zoletum Teto, they now start the syllabus. You know, Norman Catherine and other big shots are now part of the syllabus. So now they can start within the South African art curriculum. They can now start to pick up and actually look at these artists' work. But 4 years ago, that was not within the curriculum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those issues were not looked at. You know what I mean? So these guys have made it big internationally, but they're not recognized locally. You know. So, you know, we've taken major steps to ensure that, you know, within 10 years from now, we'll be singing a different song altogether.
Yeah. And are there still influences or artists who reflect the situation in post-apartheid South Africa as artists?
South Africa at the moment is, I can't say divided, but there are subtexts among communities, in a sense that I attended a conference in Cape Town last year called Ekapa. It was a conference that was going to ideally pave way for a biennale that's happening this year in September.
This year?
Yeah, there's a big biennale happening in Cape Town this year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So the organizers organized a huge international conference where they invited, your Sylvesters, your big shots internationally to come under one roof and basically look at a possibility of hosting a biennale that's going to look at the continent as such.
One in Joburg, 1991.
That was ages ago, Johannesburg Biennale.
After that, nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
So now this conference was going to look at how we take from the experience of the Johannesburg Biennale, but also pave way for a much bigger Biennale, in the sense that this Biennale is not only going to be about South Africans, it's going to be a continental Biennale, in a sense that it's looking at artists from the continent itself, the entire continent, and also abroad, artists who are living within the diaspora as well. So what came out of the conference is that this huge gap that exists among South African communities, racially, if you insist, became apparent, in a sense that it became visible. Because then transpired that there are these two camps that exist, in a sense that there were, with amongst the panel, there were members that attempted to represent interests of the marginalized, in a sense that the sacred spaces, which are called galleries, are still not accessible to a wider community. Hence, we brought this question of artists working in the township. They still have to bring their work to galleries like this, where I'm a gatekeeper for what goes into this gallery. And of course, there's a standard set by the gallery of what goes into their wall. The same goes for all galleries. And what's this criteria? This thing must be interrogated, in a sense that this criteria that galleries have set must be looked at. Who sets this criteria up, and why should it be so? Because it limits the language and the vocabulary in which those artists working outside of the mainstream can communicate. So when that became visible, it created two camps. In a sense that you got the likes of people who have now gone way past those issues, those issues became petty to them. But then you had those who are saying, listen, these issues are still alive, because there's still no art gallery in the township. And there are still artists who are producing in township to meet standards set up by institutions that they don't even, because these artists have to, if they want to continue their practice, they have to adapt their language to meet the standard. So they're not communicating concerns, in a sense that they're neglecting their communities now. They cannot talk to their communities because the language that they're talking now must meet this criteria for this community. So when that happened, these guys are left behind. So by the time they've developed the language, they no longer can speak to their communities, because their language have gone is up here for their communities, because they're now speaking to the already converted, Because people who come to this space are people who've been coming here for 20 years. They've already got the language, So there's no audience development. We're continuously talking about audience development, but we're not looking at what it will take for us to develop that audience, Who do we speak to, Because at the moment, artists are creating work for artists. If you go to any opening, 80 people out of 100 are artists or people working within the practice itself. So now when you talk audience development, it's bigger than that. Now say you have to speak that person's language, in a sense that you're saying, listen, these are my issues, but I would like you to engage me on my issues. But how do we find the common ground? So we go back to this issue of the PNL itself. So when that happened, it raised this issue that, listen, there are two conversations happening. We need to narrow them down, in a sense that let's find the middle ground for both parties. And at the moment, we'll see what the Biennale will do. I mean, at the moment, I'm preparing myself to go and spend a couple of days in Cape Town, especially for the opening of the Biennale. But the issues of race, the issues of, you know, because at the moment in South Africa, you cannot separate, well, this is my view. Let me rephrase it and say, I'm of the opinion that at the moment, you cannot separate social status to the practice itself, because an artist is informed by his environment. An artist who's creating work is informed by his social structures, where he comes from, his communities. And so now, when you now talk about social structures, social environments, if I had to choose between buying a canvas and buying a bread, I'll buy a loaf of bread for me to eat, because I cannot produce when I'm hungry. And at the moment, with the current employment rate in South Africa, a larger black community is unemployed and is living below poverty income. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this gap is influenced by many things other than the arts practice itself.
Yeah.
You know, so for us to look at this gap, we have to consider things like art schools. You know, by art schools I mean educational institutions, universities, technicals,
yeah.
all of these universities, because an art graduate will graduate with a BA or whatever qualification.
Yeah.
But for this person may not go out and be a full-time artist.
Yeah.
Because especially amongst the black community, you have to work to feed the family.
Yeah.
You have to work for basic needs, water, light, food, those kind of things. So in the end, you know, because artists cannot live out of their art at the moment.
They could develop projects.
You know what I mean? So they have to find 9-to-5 employment.
They can define projects out of their communities and how they create something with the community together. Probably.
On an average, in a
new
township.
World of artists, probably not only.
On an average in a township, I would say. An average person really cannot even afford to think about art. There is no room to even think about art. So, in the end, artists are forced to bring their practice to spaces like this one, where they can be appreciated in a sense that there's an audience already for what they do. So there's not much that one can do within the community itself.
Yeah, and art in public spheres, public art, or
you
projects
see,
in the public.
You see, there's a project like Tangenza. I mean, you probably when you spoke to Janine, you know, that project was initiated within the CBD and went out to the township. That's what happens. You know, and it's not initiated there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's at the moment is the only way of engaging the township, is that those who have resources, because you know, you must understand that there's admin, there's paperwork, there's funding proposals, there's, you know, those things alone, there's a certain required skill that is required for a person to engage, because you're not going to give me 2 million to a person who has not exhibited skills to manage even 10,000 rand.
Yeah.
See, so those are also issues that the conference that we had beginning of this year as Vanza, we're willing to engage these funders to say they must recognize these things as well.
Yeah.
That if they fund, they must make sure that other avenues are created, in a sense that there are artists who are producing beautiful work and are doing extremely beautiful projects within their communities, but are unable to write.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those people are unable to access funding, because the requirement for funding is to that you write a written proposal. So these things don't exist, you know what I mean, as they exist within a bigger context. So you're now saying Tangenza as a project went out of the city to these areas, and it's the only way at the moment that projects are happening in townships. You know, someone conceive an idea for a given area. But the danger to that is that this person that's conceiving the project here is conceiving what I think those communities need. they may not need that.
Yeah.
You see? So when the project gets there, they don't appreciate it because they don't need that. It's not their project.
Yeah.
But they can start their own too, you know what I mean? But that's not enough to say then let's not do anything. That's why those projects like Transcendentals are happening and the Biennales are happening.
Yeah.
In a sense that something must happen, you know, and then obviously at some point we'll find a miracle.
Dream of peace, but the word peace has deceased. There's more weapons in our country than there is in the Middle East. See, I was taught to speak my mind from an early age. My cold soul showed me ways to express my rage. Cause saying something for the sake of saying it is wrong. See, he who speaks from his heart can be never wrong. What is going on? Newspaper headlines read. Parents swang a little girl and cut off her feet. We need help, cause the devil is alive and well. Renounce the devil or you'll find yourself living in hell. The third world struggle still going on despite the talk of community development providing basic needs. The budget plan for 2006 is sick. There's millions of rands set aside for uprooting plants. And I ain't mad, I'm just pissed at the situation. I speak the truth cause I don't got no time for speculation. Many have said to me, I've touched their lives through my songs. I'm scared of stopping, but it makes me feel like going on. They give me props, cause they feel what I'm saying. The emotion and the pain, and the talk of razor blades, and the demons in my brain. They be all feeling the same, cause we lost in a maze. We be trying to find the way, and nobody knows the way, so we stay lost. We lose ourselves trying to figure out what's our cause. Our cause, our cause, our cause, our cause, our cause, our cause, our cause. Money is the root of all evil. Money can even make a man of God's grab his good ways and turn him evil. We need change in my people, we will self-destruct. What happened to unity and promoting love? Nowadays, everybody is just for themselves. The newer generation on the path to God in hell. How many of us have commandments have been violated? Make sure that we answer
what is man of God. It sounds really a bit like Elvis. For how long are you listening to
noch die Taxifahrt und wir hören Our Cause, Duan Sin. Ja, und um eben Post-Apartheid Südafrika zu verstehen, diese Recherche über die Kunstszene in Durban, die bezog sich darauf, um herauszufinden, wer sind die Transformatoren eigentlich, wer sind die Akteure der Transformation, würde ich eher sagen. Wie kann man Südafrika jetzt verstehen? Und um das zu verstehen, könnte man sagen, Südafrika, in Südafrika ist Transformation Praxis und eine Praxis eben seit dem Ende der offiziellen, also seit dem offiziellen Ende der Apartheid 1994. Stephen Dubin beschreibt in einem Aufsatz Bring the Noise, Bring in the Funk, die also Demokratie in dem Sinne als eine Theorie und eben Transformation als Praxis. Und er sieht diese Transformation eben in den Museen selbst gegeben, weil diese Museen permanent überdenken, ihre eigenen Räume überdenken und in diesem Prozess sozusagen auch sich öffnen eben oder geöffnet haben eben für ganz unterschiedliche Besucher, die es vor der Apartheid nicht gegeben hat. Aber dass auch während der Apartheid die Situation in den Museen oder von den Kuratoren und Direktoren jeweils sehr komplex reflektiert wurde und auch versucht wurde, allen diesen Zugang zu ermöglichen, das hat sich in diesen Gesprächen herausgestellt. Und deshalb möchte ich jetzt zuerst noch das Interview spielen mit Carol Brown, Direktorin der Durham Art Gallery in der Durham City Hall. Und sie beschreibt sozusagen, wie sie ein Projekt entwickelt haben, das Red Eye Project, in dem das Museum während dieser öffentlichen Events, die im Museum stattgefunden haben, dann sozusagen auf die Straße gegangen ist mit öffentlichen Aktionen auf und Performances und Tanz und Kunst auf der Straße. Und das war sehr neu, weil diese Zentren in den südafrikanischen Städten eigentlich nicht genutzt werden. Und sie werden jetzt aber durch die Aktionen, Aktivitäten der Museen auf eine bestimmte Art und Weise neu angeeignet.
Ah ja, now we have to turn around. Here.